item B now, which is legislative and budget updates.
So, commissioners, this is Raquel Crozier and Owen Rowe, and we're just going to briefly go through an update on kind of end of session, what we got, how we did, how we're dealing with implementation of some of the budget provisos that ended up in the operating budget, and then walk through some of the legislative and budget proposals that we're going to be bringing forward to the commission on August 4th. So last night, the legislature adjourned after 193 days and three rounds of overtime, and they did so without passing a capital budget, so it's not over. And the agency has been grappling with how we did with operating budget and how we did with bills. We actually did fairly good on the bill side. We got five of our seven agency request bills through this year. We got the recreational immunity bill through, so we're going to get to work on working with private landowners to try to get some of those cooperative agreements going so we can get some more access on private lands. We got our cleanup for our record-keeping requirements for secondary commercial fish receivers. We got some new fees to support aquatic invasive species work. That brings in around $1 million. It wasn't as much as we were hoping for because we didn't get the public utility tax. It was just too much of a hit on the general fund. But still a really, really big step there after 3 years of trying for those fees. We got our commercial license fee bill through, also didn't bring in as much as we were hoping for because there was another hit to the general fund with the landing tax diversion, so the legislature didn't let that piece of the bill through, but they did pass the increase in the base commercial license fees, which is great. And then we got the Columbia River Salmon and Steelhead endorsement bill through at literally the last minute before midnight on June 30th, which is great because that preserves $3 million for programs on the Columbia. And we didn't get the HPA fee extended, which is pretty tragic. That's $660,000 a year that the fees brought in, but the legislature did give us general fund to backfill that shortfall. And then we didn't get, of course, the recreational license fee increase, but we did get some general fund to help support that as well. And Owen's going to jump in and talk a little bit about the rest of the budget.
Sure. Owen Rowe, Budget Director. Quite a difficult session, not just for the department, obviously, but for the legislature. They were facing McCleary and limited general fund resources. I'm starting to feel like a broken record here. Primary concern to the agency right now, it continues to be the status of the state wildlife account. And recreational fishing and hunting license, we have a recreational fishing and hunting license shortfall in revenue of approximately $11 million this biennium. And the reason is the legislature continues to appropriate more expenditure authority to that account than we have revenue to back it. Primarily what's throwing us out of balance have been the labor agreements that were funded last biennium and then again the 6% cost of living adjustment this biennium. Additionally, as we've briefed you in the past, the department continues to face increasing ESA monitoring and sampling requirements to manage fisheries. Some of these costs just to maintain current service levels, which were estimated at $12.4 million at the outset of the session, were offset by the passage of the commercial fee bill, which Raquel mentioned. That brings an additional $1.3 million to the agency. Our target was to maintain commercial activities with $3.8 million, so we got about a third of that. And then there was some additional funding for Mayer Brothers hatchery production of $200,000 for the biennium. That's a hatchery on Hood Canal that's run by the Pogey Club in Kitsap County. But between the license revenue shortfall and some additional management reductions that were spread across all state agencies, as well as some additional GFS reductions, we're still facing about a $25 million budget deficit to support current service levels. However, as Raquel mentioned, we did receive a little over $10 million in one-time funding to deal with this ongoing budget shortfall, so that helps this biennium to bring the shortfall down to around $15 million. We're looking at everything we can to maintain current opportunities and optimize the department's 17-19 operating budget, but reductions are going to need to be made this biennium. And we're looking at ways to optimize the budget through much more aggressive budgeting. Some of the main areas we're looking at is to reduce program budgets by a vacancy rate assumption. This recognizes that programs are not all 100% staffed up during the course of a biennium. There's going to be some savings on the staffing side there, so we can potentially remove some non-restricted wildlife account authority from those budgets. On the program side, we could charge all fund sources their fair of program administrative costs. That would free up, we estimate, about $2 million in wildlife state and GFS flexible spending that we can help to apply to this problem. And then we're basically awash in debt authority in the wildlife account on the hunting and fishing license side, but we can use some of that authority that's not backed by revenue to tap into some of the restricted subaccounts in the wildlife account that do have some balances, like Discover Pass, Puget Sound Crab, and Duck Staff. We think we can address a good portion of the problem through these types of budget management activities that will hopefully minimize the effect of reductions to external partners and our customers. However, after those are put in play, I believe we're still looking at about a $6 to $8 million problem that we'll need to apply to program budgets. Additionally, policy language in the budget directs the agency to contract with an outside management consultant to look at efficiencies within the organizational structure and also to conduct a zero-based budget analysis with the Office of Financial Management. Legislature provided $325,000 for that effort from the state auditor's account. This work, in turn, is supposed to inform our budget request for next biennium, the 1921 biennium, once we have all that budget information together. So that's what I've got on the budget front.
Any questions or comments?
Mr. Vice Chair, this is Joe.
Yeah, Joe, take it away.
Just to follow up in terms of next steps, in terms of vacancy management, about half the programs were using that technique already, so it isn't something that will apply across the board, but we do expect to be able to realize some capacity there. Quantify that. The $6 to $8 million at the end of the day that we've got to make up is likely to have an impact on our. I don't know if you remember our maintained fisheries package that Owen was talking to, but it's our work around monitoring and complying with ESA and some of the new responsibilities that came about as a result of the Willapa, Grace Harbor, Columbia River, and so we are now, you know, prioritizing, taking out a sharpening pencil and trying to squeeze those costs as much as we can, and don't know yet where that's all going to end up, but that $6 to $8 million is going to be the toughest part of all this, achieving that.
So this is Commissioner Thorburn. What I have to say is yuck. I just would say to my colleague commissioners that we need to be very thoughtful in our policy development through the next biennium and make sure that we're not putting out unfunded mandates that just can't be carried out with a $6 to $8 million shortfall.
This is Commissioner Graybill. Looking at this picture and other methods of potential fundraising, I'm wondering if we shouldn't consider an endorsement program similar to the Columbia River and its tributaries endorsement stamp for, say, Puget Sound or the Olympic Peninsula, or other applications where if they are user-based and that particular fund has been successful not only providing revenue for unfunded monitoring and enforcement and other things, but also supported by the user group that pays the fees because they're confident it is directed to an activity that they enjoy. Do you see some potentials for that kind of an activity, Joe?
Well, Commissioner Graybill, the proviso that Owen spoke to has basically three parts to it. The first is the administrative review of our management practices, our budget practices, you know, the accountability and use of those dollars. The second part, and that's due to the legislature by January of 18. We're starting that, you know, right now. We're starting to pull that together right now. The second part of that is a long-range plan, and in that long-range plan, we take a look at the efficiency recommendations that the contractor would make, and we'd also propose stability for our budget via other revenue sources. So your idea could be one of those potentially. That's due by March of 18. And then the third part of that is our zero-based budget review, also due by March of 18. And, you know, that will give us hopefully some sense of priorities in terms of how we're spending our discretionary dollars. All those three components have to be heavily covered in an outreach effort, outreach plan, and the proviso also speaks to that. So we got $325,000 to do all of that. That's not going to be enough. We're anticipating it may be as much as two or more times that amount to get it done. So that'll also add to our budget issue. But we did get $325,000 out of a separate account from the auditor's office, I believe, to at least kick things off.
When we went through the period of this financial meltdown and our budget, our general funds were cut dramatically year after year after year, during those years, we did have conversations about the idea of seriously prioritizing, meaning deciding what projects, what programs, what activities we probably can't afford to do anymore. We had several sessions in which the commission tried to take a stab at prioritizing strategic definition of what is most essential for the department to engage in. So I think we've been talking for a while about the commission getting together and doing a retreat or strategic planning. I think it's time to really get it done. Schedule it. Have at it. Try to figure out what the central functions of the department should be. And then go out to the public. Put it to them. You know, we don't have enough money to please everyone and do everything everyone would like to do. We're operating in in an era of real constraints, in an era in which we are demanding that users pay for what they benefit from. And so we have to keep it in mind that we do have certain constituent groups that are paying their way. And we can't ignore that. We can't use their money and do something else after we've promised that we are going to take care of them if they agree to a fee increase. So all these things have to be taken into account when we go out to the public. We should not go out and say, what would you like us to do? What's important to you? We should frame it in the real world of, we don't have enough money to do everything for everyone, so what do you think is most important for us to do?
This is Joe, Mr. Vice Chair.
Yes, sir, Joe.
I think that's a great comment, Commissioner Wecker. You know, our budget is very, very complex. We have several thousand accounts that are part of the money coming in and money going out. If you look at the primary accounts of concern is the wildlife, unrestricted wildlife account, and our general fund account. We have around 85 million in general fund now after this recent $10 million addition. And that basically goes into five areas. So that's a pretty easy story to tell and to get some sense of priorities around. The wildlife account, for the most part, and it's not 100%, but for the most part goes into statutorily required or commission required activities. And so, you know, to lay that out and to have a discussion around the priorities of those uses, I think is going to have to be part of our long-term planning and our zero-based budgeting. And we were just talking this morning, anticipating this phone call, about ways to make sure the commission is front and center as we pull this together. And so any, you know, thoughts you have about a retreat or thoughts you have about staying current along the way would be much appreciated, because we've got to pull together some proposals for you and get those to you in time for an August discussion, you know, in a few weeks.
Commissioner Baker?
Mr. Baker.
So I'm a couple of things. First off, the retreat is a great idea for all the reasons suggested. Secondly, I want to commend both the department management and especially Raquel and Owen and the others that were doing the hands-on work in the legislature. And I mean that sincerely. Even though we didn't get what we needed, we had a stellar team on the ground. We have sincere and serious trust issues with the legislature, and we got a lot of general fund money and did very well compared to other natural resource agencies, and I actually think that's a bit of a miracle. The third thing, and so I really appreciate the amount of work that went into that. The third thing is that the thing that I appreciate about management, especially Jim and Joe, is that when this idea of the audit came up, Senator Braun, Senator Pearson, Senate Republicans, we didn't retrench. We said, we support that. You know, nobody really wanted to do the zero-based budgeting thing, mainly because it's a lot of work. But I was able to walk around and say, yeah, feel free. You know, if you give us some money, we'll be happy to look at our budget. And that and our management structure regarding transparency and accountability, that was a good thing to be able to say. And I want to make sure that we meant it. And what I mean by that is I think that we should embrace this audit. I think we should, those timelines work. It would be nice to get parts two and three before March of 2018, just in case there's any will in the legislature to figure out something for next session for us. So I really want us to be aggressive on that and go for it. And then the third thing I'd like a briefing on, either at a retreat or in some other, or maybe right now, there are a couple of other initiatives that are happening a little bit outside of us that could benefit us financially, and I just like to know what's going on with them. One is the task force that did not get in the budget, that was in the governor's budget on the private-public partnerships. And what we have is outside interests that value our services, that are clamoring to help us. And the governor put a task force in his budget. I believe it was in the House budget as well. I don't know how useful it was because it wasn't funded, but it's not a lot of money. And now they don't know which way to go. And so I wonder if we're going to involve ourselves in that. And then the other thing is that there are a few agencies and OFMs are looking at the ways that the state raises money for natural resources agencies, primarily the Discoverer Pass. And we may be, you know, amending that process in some way. And I'd like to have a briefing on what's going on in that as well. So that's a lot to say, but I do appreciate the way that the department and especially our legislative team,
how diligent they worked this session. It was pretty inspiring for me.
Yeah, commissioners, this is Jim. Thank you for that. We've just spent the last 2 days at a EMT meeting and really put in a lot of work on this. We're looking for all the efficiencies we can find, and we put together a plan and how to pull together an RFP to start the review, and looking at all components of this, the zero-based budgeting and others. And I guess I can, Nate can comment a little bit on the conservation task force efforts and where we're at with that.
Certainly. Good morning. There has been a support team that's been working to, and that we were partnering with, anticipating that the Conservation Task Force direction would be included in our budget. Unfortunately, that did not proceed. And so folks initially here the past couple weeks have just been trying to gauge the what happened and trying to let the dust settle a little bit and understand if this was something that was just kind of a something that fell off the floor here as we were going through the 11th hour of budget negotiations, or was this something that was deliberately removed. And it was sounding like that because the agency has a long list of tasks associated with the budget proviso for the management review, the long-term plan, and the zero-based budget, that it sounds like some folks were saying like to see the department focus on that. However, as Commissioner Baker indicated, a lot of the energy around the Conservation Task Force was brought forward by our external partners. And so folks are trying to figure out, what is that next step? Is it a slight pause, allow the agency to proceed this year through the proviso requirements? Is it where we ask those partners to help us on some of the federal efforts that are underway, the Blue Ribbon Panel, that was established to look at broader conservation funding. That initiative is now renamed the Alliance for Fish and Wildlife. We're expecting a House bill, a federal House bill, perhaps later this month, as well as a Senate version perhaps this fall. And so is that something that we direct our efforts to? And then finally, is it something that, yes, we do continue to proceed with the task force? So I think we're still having those conversations with partners, evaluating where folks are at. And in the meantime, we've really started here in the past couple weeks rolling up our sleeves to look at what we need to do to implement the department proviso. Finally, a lot of the work that we did to help prep for the task force, looking at how we improve our department budget messages and considering how we look at that gap analysis, that work will be incredibly helpful as we move into the implementing the proviso. And then we've also had some discussions with OFM and our executive management team about how do we structure an advisory group, perhaps to help us through this management review and the long-term plan. So anyway, there's a bunch of efforts underway right now, and just a little bit concerned about those aggressive timelines that Joe had reviewed and the work that we need to get done this next year.
Nate, this is Commissioner Caney. I just had a question. As from what I heard, there was all good expectations that the task force bill would pass, and that there were some particular hunting groups that in the end either didn't support it or harpooned it to where without that support it didn't go through. But are there some ideas and concepts to bring those folks on board if you know of them? It seems like it was such a no-brainer and to have not made it because of lack of support from of all folks, hunting organizations. That just seems crazy.
Commissioner Caney, it was disappointing. In particular, you know, where we were trying to do is there's the assumption that some of our fees are going towards investments of conservation activities that perhaps might not align with hunter expectations. And we don't think that's the case. And so we've been trying to look at, well, how do we have a lot of unfunded mandates associated with over 200 species of greatest conservation need identified in the state, and how do we secure new resources there? And it's a little bit of an investment in those conservation activities and improved delivery there will not only help non-game species, but certainly help game opportunities as well. And so a bit surprised by the turn, but I think there's definitely an opportunity to continue to partner and look at the federal legislation and new resources there, as well as part of this long-term plan that's identified in the proviso, where we need to look at either our current fees to support some of those deficits that Owen described, as well as what's a new revenue sources that we would do to fully fund the department's mandate.
This is Commissioner Thorburn. I think it actually extends beyond just the issue of funding. I think that we have legislators and traditional stakeholders that don't understand the breadth of the department's mission and responsibilities, and I think that if we have all of these species of concern, but we're not providing quality opportunity, which is first and foremost what should be going on, we shouldn't even be wasting time on species of concern. It's beyond funding. It's a huge communication and attitude change that the department struggles with, I think.
Yeah, and I agree that this is a very important strategic issue that we're facing, because we, as many and almost all fish and wildlife agencies across the country, have been following the North American model, which means that those traditional user groups have been providing a lot of the funding for conservation, for the activities of management agencies. And that North American model is now in jeopardy, I would say, not just because of the stress of the loss of funding and the general political environment we live in, is people just don't like paying for services. They're looking to reduce government. There's just kind of that attitude in general. So we live in a particularly precarious time, I believe, for fish and wildlife agencies like ours, in that the North American model is sort of breaking down. And I would say, you're right, Tim, that it goes, that the hunting community thinks that we're spending too much of their money on endangered biological diversity type concerns, but we also have to give some legitimate thought to what we ask of the hunters. We ask for what they pay a lot of money here for the privilege, and their opportunity is shrinking. And it's harder to get youth into the sport. There's some stigma attached. So they are feeling at risk, and probably somewhat legitimately. So I would ask the commission in the future to do some soul searching about, if you were all hunters, how would you feel in this environment? There's good reason for some of the feelings that they have.
Yeah, Mr. Vice Chair, this is Jim.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think you're right, and you know, and I think that how we started our Wild Future efforts, really reaching out to hunters and fishermen and traditional users, we had that in mind. There are other opportunities. There's our Sportsman's Congressional Caucus meeting coming up here. We're going to take the opportunity to continue to speak to our traditional users and provide them with confidence-building information that can show that we're spending their money in the right way and that it's being used for hunting and fishing activities. And so we'll continue to do that. There is a certain undercurrent of some people in that community that just flat don't believe it and believe there's a bigger agenda that is against hunting, and we'll just have to keep working with them and help try to build their confidence. Some of them I'm not sure if we'll ever be able to allay all their fears, but we'll keep working at it.
So if there's no more questions on that, Owen and I will just briefly give you some idea of what we were thinking of for legislative and budget requests for next year. Of course, we're trying to be flexible and see what comes out of this audit and comes out of our budget exercises over the next few months. But given that it's going to be a really tough year, we're going to have a lot of check-ins with legislators next year about the audit. We're trying to keep it as light of a legislative agenda as possible. It's also a supplemental year, so that means it's only 60 days. And given that legislators will have been here probably three quarters of the year after this session is over, I think they're going to try to keep it short next year and hopefully get out of here on time if they actually get stuff done this year. So we have also been experimenting with a new system of better vetting our legislative and budget requests this year, ranking them the way Tim Burns has been for the last few years on the Capitol side. So there's a bit more science to the way we are prioritizing our legislative and budget requests. And the two pieces of legislation that came out on top of the ranking this year was a ADA statute cleanup bill. This is just going to help us be more in compliance with federal law around ADA, and we'll push the eligibility criteria out to rulemaking so we can be a bit more nimble and work with our ADA advisory committee to make sure those rules are flexible and are meeting the needs. And then the second one is a bill that's focused on increasing hunting and fishing participation. So it takes some of those really good pieces of the rec fee bill that didn't pass this year, the increasing of the youth age, providing some discount packages for families and a multi-year discount, and some of the increased marketing, and puts it all in one bill. Also takes care of kind of an outdated statute that requires us to have an annual license only for the Lowland Lake opener. We want people to be able to have a one-day or a three-day temp on that opener. So just two really good, simple bills that we already think we have some potential sponsors for. So that's it on the legislative front. I'll turn it over to Owen to talk about budget stuff.
Sure. So supplemental budgets are generally reserved for emergent issues and emergencies. The plan is to have a summary of our proposed budget request to the commission next week prior to the August meeting, so you have some time to review. And I'll remind you that by state law, the department's legislative and budget requests must be authorized by a vote of the commission, which we generally ask for authorization during the meeting, but we can also follow up with a commission conference call. That's generally at least how the operating budget proposals have been approved by the commission in the past few years. What are we looking at on as far as maintaining current service levels? The state authorized a minimum wage increase, I believe, through an initiative that passed last November, and so that increases our costs on our Kelly services that we use to support. It's basically private staffing to support our mass marketing activities, and we're looking at about a $700,000 shortfall there. Additionally, I've identified that the off-road vehicle account, which is funding that comes to that's generated from a gas tax refund, recognizing that folks that are driving on forested roads and so forth aren't putting any wear and tear out of the roads. We are about a quarter of $1 million short next biennium based upon the requirements and statute, so we'll be asking for that. And then hopefully I've got a placeholder in for wildfire like we always do that hopefully won't be necessary. As far as new challenges that are emergent that the department's facing is, first off, is we've got an enforcement program. Our computer-aided dispatch system, or CODI, as it's called, is 10 years old, and the original contract expires at the end of this year. And we had a recent assessment by the state auditor as well as the Office of Cybersecurity. They raised significant concerns about privacy rights of individuals whose data is contained in federal record systems and could be breached. And if a data breach occurred, officer safety in the field would be compromised. So we're going to be asking for authorization of that request. It's around $1 million. As you all know, the Puget Sound Early Marine Survival Study has been going on for the past 4 years. We're hoping to secure some funding this biennium for the last phase of that study. And so we'll be looking to the Legislative Authorization Commission approval of some funding, around $800,000, to finish that study up, looking at that increasing mortality of juvenile steelhead in Puget Sound. We've identified a new way to basically to do some good forest health work on our forested wildlife lands by pulling timber off of the land and selling that to mills, and in turn reinvesting that revenue into forest health activities. That won't have a general fund or a wildlife account impact. It was a package that was funded actually in the 17 supplemental by the legislature. So we'll be looking to push that forward as well. And then also recent federal requirements are requiring us now to have veterinarians actually prescribe medicated fish food in our hatcheries, both on the fish side and on the pheasant side. And so we've got a shortfall there as far as our veterinary capacity. So that will likely also be a package we'll be looking for authorization for. That's basically what I've got in the hopper right now.
And Owen and I will be developing some materials for the commission, and we'll get those out early next week. And we'll also be trying to connect with each commissioner just to answer any questions in advance of the August 4th meeting.
Thank you very much. Are there any other questions on that presentation?
Commissioner Thorburn, legislature passed an extension for covering costs out of the capital budget since it wasn't passed initially, and since we don't have one, does that extension continue, or are we going to have an impact from not having the capital budget passed?
Well, in the waning days, the very last day of the last biennium, the legislature did pass a reappropriation bill.
Yeah.
They did extend some of the work that we're conducting on hatcheries and other facilities around the state, so that was a good move forward. However, not having a new capital budget authorized by new bond bills is going to be problematic for us if they're unable to get that done in the next month or so, and I believe Tim Burns is impacts to 90 staff across the agency.
Thank you. So the reauthorization piece continues on, or it goes through the first year of the biennium, or
it goes through the entirety of the current biennium that we're in. But again, it's
okay.
Authorization of any funding that was left over from projects that were authorized in the previous 15-17 capital budget.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments? Hearing that's